Dublin, Ms. Hudson.
Good morning, and may it please the court. The issue presented on this appeal is one on which several circuits have already ruled, and of course we'll have to discuss those rulings here today. But it's simply, in a 3582 proceeding, are the sentencing guidelines binding as the Sentencing Commission would have them, or does a federal district court have authority in light of Booker's Sixth Amendment and remedial ruling to go below the new and revised sentencing guideline range in a Section 3582 proceeding?
In the light of our having held repeatedly that Booker is not retroactive, why would we apply it retroactively to these 3582 proceedings?
Well, you wouldn't be applying it retroactively. You would be applying the law as it exists at the time of the resentencing. Now, the Commission has said in its policy statement, one amended as of March of 2008, 1B110.10, that these are not full resentencings, but the fact of the matter is they are resentencings, call them what you may. The court recalculates the guideline, the level. The probation office makes the calculation in light of the amended guideline that's applied retroactively. The individual comes before the court, either on the court's motion or his own or the Bureau of Prisons, and asks to be resentenced. And at that time, Booker would not be applied retroactively. It would be applied because it's the law of the land as of the moment of that resentencing.
But it would be applied retroactively if you thought, well, this is simply an adjustment of a sentencing that took place, and I don't know when this took place. Perhaps this took place after Booker. May well have, since Booker was, what, 05?
Booker was 2005. Mr. Dublin was actually charged back in 1995, and at the time that he was charged, the indictment read simply that he was involved in a conspiracy involving 50 grams or more crack cocaine. The jury returned a verdict of guilty. The judge found over 2 kilograms of cocaine under relevant conduct, and then under the mandatory guidelines, sentenced him to almost 25 years as a first offender who had never been involved had never gotten in trouble before. There were no allegations of violence of any sort. And certainly we would all acknowledge that such a sentence today, in light of Booker, Apprendi, Kimbrough, you name it, Spears, would be unconstitutional.
What or how was the issue presented to the district court at this 3582 proceeding as far as applying Booker?
The issue was presented in that Judge James had a procedure whereby in all his 3582 cases, he would issue an order saying, based upon the probation office's recalculation of the sentencing range in light of the amended guidelines, I find that the amendment applies to this defendant, and I anticipate issuing an order, a final order, that says, in effect, this is my sentence. What is your position on this? And at that time, we have an opportunity, both the government and I, the parties, to file anything they want. I filed in the record under seal a sentencing memorandum in which I asked the court to impose a sentence of time served. Mr. Dublin is now 13, going on 14 years in jail. He's now in his 40s. I attached to the memorandum numerous letters from family and friends, as well as information about his work in prison, attesting to why a sentence of time served under 3553A, which under 3582 the court is required to consider, would be a sentence that is no more than necessary to achieve all of the sentencing goals. The judge responded in a written ruling that he did not believe he had the authority to go below that amended guideline range. And I specifically argued that under Booker, he had that authority, and he concluded otherwise. Of course, consistent, as I must acknowledge, with the vast majority of the federal courts, including circuit courts, to have looked at the issue thus far. Of course, those matters are now, several of them, cert petitions have been filed, and ultimately, I suppose, we'll hear from the U.S. Supreme Court on the matter. But that's how it was raised, and that's how the court ruled. The court said nothing about, even if I had the authority, I wouldn't impose a lesser sentence. He did not suggest that at all. There's nothing in the record to suggest he would not have gone below if he thought he had the authority to do so. So that's how it was raised. And the position that Mr. Dublin and we must take and believe on this appeal is that when you resentence, regardless of what you call it, in this case, a full the commission says it's not a full resentencing, our position is it is a resentencing. The law of the land must apply. The law of the land is Booker and its interpretation, both of the Sixth Amendment violation, which, of course, exists in this very case, and the remedy for that violation, which is its view of what Congress must have intended if there's a Sixth Amendment violation vis-a-vis how the guidelines operate. And the court made clear in Booker that in any context, no exceptions across the board, even when the government argued for exceptions, that the guidelines are advisory. And if you look at every case that they've taken up from the circuit since Booker, they've only reinforced that position. Yes, sir, Your Honor.
In order to, for you to win this appeal, we would have to reach out and find that this is how Booker would be applied in these circumstances despite the plain language. You're asking us to reach in and anticipate what the Supreme Court would do. Isn't that true?
Yes, but I think it's pretty clear what they're going to do. I mean, they keep reversing circuit courts who are hesitant to hear what they say and know that they mean what they say. But if I think I understand what you're asking me, Booker interpreted what Congress would do in light of Booker. I think Booker also gives you guidance as to what the court would say Congress would do in light of Booker and under 3582, because, of course, Booker didn't discuss 3582. It didn't excise 3582. But at the time that Booker was decided, 3582 referenced policy statements of the Sentencing Commission, but there was no policy statement saying these guidelines are mandatory in a 3582. That policy statement arose in March of 2008, when clearly the Sentencing Commission, in its infinite wisdom, decided once again to try to find a way to restrict the authority of an Article III judge to do what, under the Constitution and Booker, he has the authority to do.
I mean, there's some definite logic in what you're asking the court to do today. I'm just wondering if the court has the authority to do what you're asking to do under the precedent that we have at this time.
Well, the only precedent that you have, in my view, is Booker, Kimbrough, Spears, Rita, Gall.
Guidelines themselves, though.
And the guidelines themselves. The court, since Booker, has not retreated from the position that the guidelines are advisory in all contexts.
Right. Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask, but the first, the fourth, the seventh, the tenth have all gone the other way, is that right? But the ninth has gone the way that you'd ask us to go?
That's pretty much it in a nutshell. Okay. And I have to acknowledge that. But all those circuits keep getting reversed. I mean, Kimbrough just reversed the fourth. The Eighth Circuit was just reversed in Spears. And the court basically keeps saying to the circuits, we mean what we say, folks. And so, yes, maybe I don't believe this court has to wait until the Supreme Court says specifically in 3582 Booker applies before it can apply the law of the land. That would be my position, I think, hopefully in answering your question.
Thank you.
But again, what these other circuits have done is they've taken 3582, they've taken the fact that Congress has said we defer to the Sentencing Commission on when and under what circumstances a guideline is reduced and applied retroactively. And they've taken that language without regard to the fact that Booker is intervening. And ultimately, regardless whatever Congress intended back in when I think 3582 hasn't been amended since, what, 88 or something, whatever they intended then, they could not have intended to instruct the commission to violate the Constitution. I don't think you can overrule Booker that way, in other words.
Well, but, and this gets back to my initial question about applying Booker retroactively, because in effect you're applying it retroactively to the initial sentencing, even though this is a different proceeding. And then if we were going to say, well, but he was originally sentenced under Booker, I know this man wasn't, you've told me that. So then you say, all right, let's see, now this man was sentenced pre-Booker, so he doesn't get it, but this man was sentenced post-Booker, so maybe he gets it, because this is not a full resentencing. As you've said, the procedure followed is, this is what I, you know, this is a new calculation, give me your position. I just have a lot of problems about thinking that Booker would be applied to this type of proceeding, because I do see it as, in effect, a retroactive application of Booker, even though some of the sentencing would have been post-Booker, where and they would have gone through and done all of the machinations and come up with the new guideline. For example, let's assume that we had a post-Booker sentencing, and the guideline range was 100 to 150, and it was for crack cocaine, and the judge sentenced below the guideline range and sentenced to 98 months. Now you've got this new amendment, and you get two levels off. I suppose with the two levels off, it'd be a range less than what the man was currently serving. But it just seems to me it's creating a real problem if Booker were to apply to these type of proceedings.
First of all, let me put it in the context of my own experience as a public defender who does a lot of cases before you in the district courts, because I do a lot of appeals that get remanded. I've had the experience, Your Honor, of having a client who won an appeal, got a guideline reduction because it was a guideline sentence, Booker did not exist, got resentenced to a lower level, then filed a 2255, got this court to agree that in the 2255 there was a further tinkering with the guidelines, went back for remand, and guess what? Booker applied, and the judge gave him the original sentence from the original sentencing. And, of course, I yelled and screamed about that, and it was affirmed by you. The point being, in that very odd situation, and you have remands for limited purposes for resentencing where you don't revisit the whole resentencing, how can the judge not apply the law of the land at that time? And they are doing it in other contexts. How is this different?
I suppose it's different because it simply says you get a two-level reduction. But interesting question. Thank you.
Thank you. Well,
oh, did you have
a little more time?
Sure.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure.
It is an interesting question. And I do appreciate that your willingness to see it as that and not just say there's nothing for us to say because all the circuits have gone the other way. I really appreciate that. I think it merits a good collegiate discussion, as Judge Tate used to say about oral argument. But again, I think that we have to go back to Booker, and we have to go back to what the court decided in Booker, and that is we're not going to draw lines. We're not going to say sometimes the guidelines are mandatory and sometimes they're advisory. We're not going to say, well, was there a Sixth Amendment violation here or not? This is the rule. The courts are applying it. The federal judges are really smart. They can do this. And the commission cannot simply put one line in this book and change the law of the land. They should not be allowed
to
do that.
Read that line so we'll have it on the tape, please.
The line, yes, sir, is, well, there are many lines, but one is, this policy statement does not constitute a full resentencing. Your point. The second line is the court shall recalculate the guideline range in light of the crack reduction, but leave all other guideline applications and decisions unaffected. Your point as well. And the third line is the court shall not reduce the defendant's term of imprisonment to a term that is less than the minimum of the amended guideline range. And my point is, this policy statement is advisory. It cannot be mandatory under Booker and the Sixth Amendment.
Thank you. Ms. Walker for the government.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'm Assistant United States Christina Walker, representing the government in this matter. Basically, our position is that Booker does not apply to 3582C proceedings. The substantive part of Booker, as well as the remedial part of Booker, doesn't apply to 3582C proceedings, basically because, as Your Honor had indicated, this is not a resentencing. It's a very limited mechanism for reducing a sentence to account for a retroactive guideline amendment. When you in these proceedings, you're starting with a lawfully imposed sentence. There's nothing wrong with Mr. Dublin's sentence before the amendment, and there still isn't anything wrong with his sentence, versus a situation where there's a remand for resentencing. So we're starting with a lawfully imposed sentence, and the court has the discretion whether or not to reduce the sentence. And that's another reason why Booker doesn't apply, because 3582C has always been discretionary. Under 28994C and 3582C, the Congress delegated to the Sentencing Commission the authority to determine the extent and when to reduce the sentence. And Booker had the opportunity to look at 3582C and decide whether or not it fell within the provision of its ruling, and it didn't. In its remedial holding, it excised 3553B and 3742E and specifically said the remainder of the Act satisfies the Court's constitutional requirements, and 3582C is part of the Sentencing Reform Act, and yet that was never changed. And, in fact, Booker said that it didn't want to invalidate more than of the statute that was necessary. And the other reason why Booker would not apply is because the constitutional holding of Booker focused on the district courts raising a sentence based on facts that a jury had not decided or that the defendant had not pleaded guilty. That was the crux of its holding. 3582Cs have always dealt with the reduction of sentence. It's always been a one-way lever. And then again, if you look at the remedial portion of it, Booker did say that it didn't want advisory and mandatory guidelines in some situations. But if you look at the remedial opinion, the court focused on congressional intent. And the way that 3553B read back then and 3742E, there was mandatory language. But if you look at 3582C2, it's always been discretionary, and it's always been a one-way lever. So if the court was looking at the congressional intent, the statute's very clear. So there wouldn't be an inconsistency there, since the remedial part of the Booker focused on the congressional intent. Again, our main concern is, as Your Honor indicated, that 3582C2 shouldn't be in a vehicle for the retroactive application of Booker. And even though 1B1.10 was changed after Booker, the Sentencing Commission was well aware of Booker because, in fact, in those amendments, it describes what a district court can do in a situation in which there's been a prior Booker variance. So the Sentencing Commission was well aware of Booker. And furthermore, even prior to the amendments to 1B1.10 PS policy statement after Booker, it's always provided that amended guideline range limits the extent to which a sentence can be reduced. So even before the amendments, you had this limitation where you looked at the amended guideline range as a limitation on the reduction. One of the other concerns in the remedial portion of Booker was the administrative complexities. We would indicate that in this case, that making Booker applicable to 3582Cs would increase administrative complexities because you'd have, as I said, right now it's very limited. You reduce it 2 points and you sentence within that. If you applied Booker, there'd be an administrative nightmare. I mean, I know in the Western District there are at least 300 cases of people who could be eligible for this type of reduction, and it's been handled pretty well because the courts reduce it automatically without a hearing, and things have flowed pretty well, and I think it would, having Booker apply would significantly increase the administrative complexities of this proceeding, which is not full resentencing anyway.
How so?
Well, I guess right now, the way that that things work, the at least in the Western District, the probation office prepares a sheet that compares the prior offense level and the new one, and the defendant doesn't have to be there, but in the Western District, the judges have been appointing an attorney, the federal public defender, and they write a memo, and then the government writes a memo, and then the court makes a decision. So it's the defendant doesn't have to be present for that type of thing, and then it's done all it's basically without a hearing. And I think if Booker was applicable, it would make it a little more complicated. And again, it would circumvent the purpose of the limited reduction. I mean the point of applying a retroactive guideline amendment.
Anything else?
Well, we'd indicate that, you know, the first, the fourth, the seventh, the eighth, the tenth, and the 11th have basically indicated that it's not applicable.
Is cert pending in any of those cases?
Yes. Certs haven't been granted. They've applied for certs in Dunphy and Cunningham, I believe. I've noticed that they've asked for writs on those two. In those two,
is there any reason we should wait?
I don't think so, because I think Booker's pretty clear, and there's, you know, the only one that's decided the other way is the Ninth Circuit. Let's see if I can, are there any other? I'm trying to think of any other points I needed to make. Well, the other point would be that, you know, it wouldn't necessarily be that fair to other defendants that weren't able to file 3582s to give them the advantage of Booker. There are so many other defendants who do not have the advantage of Booker because it's not retroactively applicable, and the amendment was just to cure that one problem with it. Well, not problem, but to ameliorate the situation between the crack cocaine and powder cocaine disparity, not to have a full resentencing.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Rebuttal.
Thank you. Briefly, the concept that 3582C2 is discretionary to me only reinforces that the judge should have the discretion post-Booker to go below the two levels.
Wouldn't that require a full resentencing?
I don't see why it would. What in this case, the level dropped two levels. I wrote a sentencing memo. I said 3553A factors are the following. Here is my analysis of those factors. In terms of what the judge could do at that point, if the prosecutor did not dispute, for instance, that my client had a blameless record and 13 years of being in prison, that he's been rehabilitated as evidenced by the letters from his family and friends and his 13-year-old son who's never seen him out of prison. If there were no dispute as to those issues, the judge could rule on the basis of my sentencing memo.
But the problem is, usually there will be a dispute. And if we're going to go back and have a full resentencing for this sentencing amendment, then I suppose the government's going to come in and, as you say, talk about the prison record, talk about additional facts that may have developed.
They already do that, Judge. I mean, I have appeals before you where people have been denied relief because they got out of line at the cafeteria. Those issues are already there. They're already being litigated. In terms of the administrative...
Well, I'm talking about here, we'll go back over 13 years of infractions or whatever. And again, I don't know your client's record in prison, good or bad, but the problem is it just opens the proverbial Pandora's box for all to go back and just have a full resentencing, where for other prisoners we have said Booker is not retroactive and you can't get the benefit of Booker, and we've done it on habeas time and time again. So
you have, but there have been many a person, and I've represented them, where through hook or crook, fortuity, call it what you want, they ended up back in front of the federal court and either got the benefit or, as my client I told you about, got unfortunately, the lack of benefit of Booker applying. That's the way the law works. You've got to apply the law. When you call it full or partial or limited or not, it is a resentencing. You must apply the law of the land at that time. And there are ways. This court can give guidance to the district courts about when a hearing is appropriate on the issue, which is limited to the 3553A factors. Let me assure you, though, I've been doing these hundreds of crack cocaine cases and been doing the appeals as well. I'm responsible for the ones in the Middle District. These issues abound already. What someone did or didn't do in prison, what the nature of the crime was or wasn't, whether they've been rehabilitated, the public safety considerations, the 3553A factors, that all is before the court. That all is before the court. Adding one more thing that you can trust a federal judge to do the right thing and only in the appropriate case go below that guideline range is what Booker is all about, and the Sixth Amendment.
Well, the federal judge in this instance is not the federal judge that sentenced your client in the first place. And maybe the federal judge that sentenced your client originally was aware of certain problems, et cetera, that this new judge would not be. And so it's a question of whether it's fair to the public as well. I mean, it's just a...
Well, I trust Judge James to know what to do.
We can trust Judge James.
And I think that
Judge James might reach a result that was never intended by the first judge that sentenced your client, or, you know, in the hypothetical, Judge A might have heard things and testimony at the sentencing hearing that raised concerns that Judge B knew on the scope, knew on the scene just on this guideline amendment.
That could happen in a resentencing where you reversed and sent it back, and Judge Melanson's retired, taken senior status. He wouldn't get the case anyway.
But at least it's not so removed. I mean, there are just so many variables here that... But we'll take a good close look at it, and we appreciate your argument.
Do you think we should wait?
That's a tough question. I've debated that. I mean, my client's got, at this point, a 19-year sentence. So if cert is granted, which I fully expect it will be on one of these cases, we would get a decision next year. He's sitting in prison anyway.
I think our clear instruction from the Supreme Court is we'll do our work and they'll do theirs.
And that's my bottom line. And everybody wants guidance from the circuit. We're filing Booker requests, not in every case. That's the other point. This is not that big of a problem. It really is not. It can be handled by the district court.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Appreciate your argument. Call the second.